Hey everybody, Dr. Mike Reed from Chiropractic Masters International. Welcome to our Master Talk. I have a very good friend and chiropractor on with us tonight, Dr. Stu Hoffman. For those of you who don't know Stu, he's a very successful 36-year practitioner. He actually owned 14 chiropractic offices, which I'm going to tip my hat to because that's an impressive feat for anybody. For the last 26 years, he's been the founder and owner and operator of ChiroSecure, which is a malpractice insurance company, and it's actually the second largest program in the profession. And he's also a speaker at different chiropractic events and chiropractic college campuses. And he's joining us tonight to talk about a topic I haven't spoke on for probably about 6 years, and I really want to come back to this, and that's chiropractic and stroke and the myths and the strategies that doctors can use in the practices. So Dr. Stu Hoffman, thanks for being on with me on this Master Talk.
Thanks, Mike. I'm glad to be here with you.
So, Stu, let's talk about the elephant because, you know, this has always been a contentious topic in our profession. A lot of doctors are always scared about stroke in the practices. It's in the media. A lot of the chiropractic colleges are telling kids don't adjust the cervical spine. So let's just open it up. Maybe we can just talk a little bit about the true facts and the research behind this.
Okay, well, Mike, I go all around the country doing hours and hours on this topic. And the reason is there were so many years I took off from being at events in terms of speaking in front of the audiences because that's not really my drive. But it became evident that we have this situation in our profession that I take really serious. Why? Number one, it cost us a lot of money. It means nothing. Everyone says, well, you're going to make less money. Well, yeah, that's all good, except for the fact that when an insurance company pays out too much, you wind up paying more premiums. Insurance companies don't lose long term. And we have to recognize that. And we have been put in a position that public relations has not gone our way. And I take it all the way back to the late 70s and early 80s, when we had the longest running antitrust lawsuit in the United States history. And it was the Wilk, known as the Wilk case. And after 14 years, we beat the AMA, the American Hospital Association, and everybody else. But what did we get? We got nothing, a few crumbs on the table, and that's about it. But they're not stupid. So if they couldn't use the same tactics, they just switch. And in the, you know, let's see, I think it was the mid-1980s, all of a sudden those of us that were practicing then, it was really good times. All you had to do is check off what you adjusted. The patient was, you know, an arrow up if they were better, over if they were the same, hopefully none down where they were worse. And you would send out a bill to an insurance company. 2 weeks later, there was a miracle, money in the bank. And it was really that simple. But they started what we now know as HMOs, which was a managed care organization with the intent to control the patient's healthcare dollars. That's what it was all about. And there were two problems with it. Number one, there was only one class of provider excluded. And that was us, with a rare exception down in South Florida. And the second thing is, it wasn't honest because the gatekeeper, the primary care physician, was bonused based on how little referral they did. Right. So there were problems with it, and people thought that that's when HMO started. They really started in the 1930s and 40s, but they never really had traction until then. But even with that, so many of us learned from our masters of the time how to deal with patients and communicate with them effectively so that even if it's a cash situation, so what? It doesn't matter if someone's insurance or cash. If you tell the chiropractic story, they're going to come in, they're going to pay you, they're going to stay with you. And that's what we learned how to do. And I feel very fortunate for that. And I've been very fortunate in the chiropractic world. But so many people got hurt, but we still survived. And then we had managed care. We have ASHN out of Southern California, as well as others, that started out wanting to pay chiropractors $10 a visit, and then 6 visits, 8 visits, 10 visits each year, cut it down from wherever you're at. And it's our own people killing us. But none of it is as big of an attack on the profession as the stroke issue to me, because I believe it is so artificial. I usually am more colorful, but it is so artificial, this rap that's been given to us by the medical community and the media that has nothing to back it up. There is no scientific evidence anywhere demonstrating that a chiropractic adjustment is an actual cause of a vertebral artery dissection that can lead to a stroke. Now, that doesn't mean that there is not an association of patients that go to chiropractors and wind up in the emergency room and wind up with a stroke. You know, last year, well, it was almost 2 years ago in February, Katie May, the model and Snapchat queen, it was the stroke heard around the world, is what I say, because it was everywhere that this 32-year-old woman died after 2 visits to the chiropractor. And for today's purpose, I'm not going to get into the whole issue with her, but I do want to share a couple of interesting points. That this woman had so many unrelated issues that took place. When the story first came out, for those of you that heard about this Katie May stroke deal, when it first came out, she was supposedly in a modeling session and had a fall, hurt her neck, went to the chiropractor, went the next day, was doing better. Someone told her to go to the emergency room. Later that night, she died. Well, then all of a sudden the story changed. She never fell. She was holding a position, went to the chiropractor, wound up in the emergency room, and hours later, she was dead. So I had a research newspaper guy get in touch with me. He wanted to do an interview about Katie May because I'm the president of an insurance company. And at first, I said, oh, I don't know. I called an attorney that we've spent in excess of $1 million just researching the stroke issue and how to defend doctors through it, because we think it's a bunch of crap. And at the same time, it still pays out a lot of money, because it's hard to say I didn't do something. But we wound up, I called this attorney and he said, no, absolutely. As a friend and an attorney, there's no good that can come out of it. Don't do it. And so I slept on it that night, and then I called Dr. Jerry Klum, and I said, well, John said not to do this, but I need to do it, so will you do it with me? And he said, sure, and we set it up, and this guy called, and I know that the person that controls the conversation is the one that's asking the questions. So I started to do what I've always been taught and what I teach others to do, create some rapport with the guy first. I already know he's going to have his own preconceptions, but let's see how it's going. And I asked him a number of questions, including, how did you come up with doing this? You're out of Pennsylvania. This happened in LA. You're a regional paper. What's the deal? And he said, well, her family's here, and I've already interviewed her and most of the doctors involved in this case, and it's an issue that we want the public to know more about. I said, oh, okay, well, whatever. And we get into this, and thank God Jerry Klum was there, who serves as our number one expert witness, not our only one, but number one, two, and three. And he went through this with everybody and explained all of the research, which, to this guy's credit, he was on top of it, except for the fact that he didn't interpret it the way we would think it should be. And we talked about how, you know, the incidence of stroke after seeing a chiropractor is technically slightly less than after seeing a medical doctor. And this gentleman said to me, well, Dr. Hoffman, do you think that the big issue is that there's still a conspiracy or some baggage that the medical community has against the chiropractic profession? And I say, well, of course, that's still there, but it's not quite as bad as most people think. Years ago, when I started in 1981, you would never send somebody to the hospital or to the orthopedist because you knew that they were not coming back to you. You'd be bad mouthed and you'd never see that patient again. But in this day and age, the younger professionals are taught much more openness. And I think that a lot of that disillusion has gone away. I said, but it's not gone. And I think that the bigger issue, when the emergency room doctors are exempt from you suing them because they're an emergency room doctor, and they're taught in seminars that the first question you ask when someone comes to the hospital and they have stroke-like symptoms is, have you seen a chiropractor? They don't necessarily know anything about chiropractic, what technique, what type of chiropractor, when the patient saw the chiropractor, what transpired, any of that. But if the answer is yes, you go in with the starting diagnosis of a chiropractic stroke. And I say, what the hell is that? Because a chiropractic stroke, what about an orthopedic stroke? What about a DO stroke, a massage therapist stroke? What about a painter stroke? Because one of the things that we learned through all of this research that we did is that there are 72 everyday activities that are known causes of a vertebral artery dissection, including doing nothing, spontaneous. And why we would be lumped as one of those, I can't tell you. But I feel like it's my mission to educate the doctors so that they don't have to be in a position to be defensive with their patients rather than professional and educational. Because when you're educating patients, they're going to become solid and they're going to stick with you. And if a story comes out, whether it's a bunch of garbage or not, they're going to, at the worst, ask you about it. You're going to re-educate them and they're going to be your warrior and refer more people into you rather than run away and hide behind a counter as they're coming down an aisle in a grocery store. So we have all of this. And when this gentleman asked me all of these questions, I asked him one. And I said, let me ask you, have you seen any football games? Yeah, of course. I said, well, as a matter of fact, so have I. And you have these 350-pound guys going as hard as they can into each other. Some go flipped up in the air, land on their head, this and that. I said, how many Sundays do you think that there's a football stroke all over the news? Well, never. Well, that's correct. What about car accidents? You hear about them nonstop all day long. There's very few strokes that come out of it, but sometimes someone can have so much trauma that they have what they label a broken neck. But even with that much trauma to break their neck, they didn't have a dissection and a stroke. I said, this was when Muhammad Ali was still alive. I said, look at him. He's in terrible shape. But it's not because he had his head pounded and wound up with a vertebral artery dissection. And you're going to tell me a little tiny force put in the right line of drive in the right direction for the right vertebra that's already out of place, whether it be done by hand or instrument, is going to be so much more violent than any of those things? And he said, well, you have a good point, Dr. Hoffman. Well, no crap. That's why we're talking. And so he was really, he turned around and he was pretty open about it. And the conversation ended when I said to him, and it wasn't because I said it, it was ending. And I said to him, you told me that you only have one person left to interview, and that's the neurologist that said the cause of death was the chiropractic adjustment. I said, and I take that personally. I said, so I know you'll be just as open with him as you have been with us. So as a malpractice provider, I got to tell you, my first question to him is, I want to know exactly what the chiropractor did, what adjustment was performed, how was it performed, what was the line of drive, how many pounds per square inch were applied, what vertebra, what direction, what angle. Because if he can't tell you that, that is malpractice to me.
That's right.
And I don't want to hear that. And I said, if you don't report him to the board, I will. And he said, interesting. I said, okay. And beyond that, he made this decision. And if he doesn't have all of that information, then it's just hearsay and bias because he has no objective findings. How many times do we hear from insurance companies, your licensing board, or anyone else about having objective findings? And so this guy was really good, and he got back to us. He actually wrote a very fair article. But then you have people like Dr. Oz, who's a supporter of the chiropractic profession, hyping his show, "Can a chiropractic adjustment kill you?" Well, I hope that pisses every one of you off half as much as it does me. We have so much to give people, and we are getting bombarded from so many different places. Last year, I saw a thing on MSN. I know half the people don't even think that exists anymore, but it was an article all about chiropractic and stroke. And I looked and looked. Well, it was from 2010 from the Reader's Digest that they regurgitated. And you have to get all the way to the end that says, well, and there's no evidence to show that there's a cause and effect here. So just think about this, and I want to share, Mike, with your audience that, you know, we all think it's going to be the other guy. That's never going to happen to me. I'm an upper cervical guy. I'm an SOT guy. I'm this, that, or the other thing. But I'll give you just two examples and then see where it goes from there. I had a claim where the doctor called me up, and by the way, doctors, don't do this. We have a lot of doctors that have a patient on the adjusting table. They adjust them. All of a sudden, they get dizzy. They start vomiting, and they call me. What do? You call 911. Don't call me. And because really, if it is a stroke, if it's an emboli that got dislodged, there is a drug that the emergency room uses that will knock that right out. And if you get there within 45 minutes, it has like, I can't tell you the exact numbers, it's like a 90% success rate. If it's 2 hours, it's less. 4 hours, less. After that, it's a crapshoot. So don't ever hesitate. Better safe than sorry. But I had this one doctor that called me up, and he had a patient that did exactly that. It was a 67-year-old woman. She comes in, he does range of motion, he does the rest of his exam. And she came in because she had neck pain, and she couldn't turn her neck to the right when she was driving and seeing over her shoulder. So he adjusts her. He does some stretching, a little massage on her neck before he adjusted it. And she gets up and says, it's a little better, but doc, it still feels a little bit stuck. And haven't we all had that? And so what does he do? What so many people do. He goes back and says, let me check that. Goes a little bit lower in her neck, and wham, he adjusts it. She gets up and she does a 360 one way, 360 the other way. That is great. Uh-oh, the room's starting to spin. She gets dizzy. She starts leaning to the left and she vomits. And he did exactly the right thing. He instantly called 911. They came, they got her. And he called me right after that. And it turns out that this woman wound up dying. And I said to him, take out her case history. I want to know what medication she was on. She's 67 years old. So a lesson for all of you, know what medications people are on. I'm not a medically oriented guy, but you have to know what people are going through. And she was on two medications, which was shocking to me that it was only two. One was for her blood pressure. And I said, man, that's got to be a home run. Let's look that up. Nah, nothing. The other one was for bone density. It's one of the most prescribed medications out there. It's called Evista. And I looked it up just for the heck of it. Oh my God, you should all look up Evista. So many of your patients are on these medications. And Evista has a black box warning, is the first thing I see. And it says that this causes venothrombus embolism, leading to stroke and death. It's a black box warning.
Nice.
Telling you this is going to happen. The woman dies. When she gets to the hospital, the doctor was told that she wound up with an embolism the size of a golf ball at her brainstem. And I said, I don't think that can even happen in that time frame. I was corrected, but it's not probable. And she didn't sue the medical doctor, the hospital, or anyone else. She just sued the chiropractor for something that the pharmaceutical company and the medical doctor should have known was going to happen. The doctor was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And 275 chiropractors each year will have a patient that has a vertebral artery dissection leading to stroke, no matter if you adjust them or not. That's the statistic. Out of your patients, 275 doctors will have someone in that situation this year.
So, Stu, just to recap, no research showing there's a cause. There is a temporal correlation, meaning someone somewhere is going to have a stroke and they just happen to pass through your practice, which is more likely. There is research showing people under chiropractic care have a slightly less incidence of stroke. Is that correct?
That is correct. There's multiple studies. And, you know, Mike, let me give out this number for the doctors. If you want to get all of the supporting information about strokes, text this number. It's 480-500-6574, and just type in REID, and my office will automatically transmit a PDF of all of the stroke information on your behalf, because there is nothing to show that we cause a stroke. But at the same time, we have to be real. People come to a chiropractor, and shortly after a chiropractic adjustment, they experience a stroke. There is an association there that we have to be honest about and recognize. And is it because we caused it, or maybe just missed some of the signs and symptoms that we could have picked up, that they were already in an episode? And it's very hard. Years ago, we were taught George's test to see if somebody's going to wind up with a stroke. Well, George's test proved inadequate, and no one does it anymore. So there's no good testing unless you go in for some massive invasive imaging. And I don't recommend doing that with all of your patients. It makes no sense. So we have to deal with what we have available. And most of the time, patients that are in an episode dealing with a dissection, they're going to go, whether it be the chiropractor or the medical doctor, complaining of neck pain and or a headache. How many people have you had with that? We've all had tons. But one difference, they're generally going to say, this is a headache. Like, I've never had a headache before. And it's not a cluster headache or one of those. It's more of a thunderous type headache. And that is one red flag for you. But people are going to have multiple issues. You want to see if they're seeing well, if there's dizziness, if there's vomiting, if there's numerous other signs and symptoms. Again, that's not the purpose of going into all of that for today. But these are things that exist. And we have to be prepared because, as I said before, Mike, no matter how you practice, you could be one of those people put on the spot, and I don't want you blowing up your practice or your life, because I talk to every one of these doctors that panic when something like this happens, that they're going to lose their house, they're lose their practice, their license. It's not going to happen. Right. So take a deep breath.
Now, years ago, Stu, and you know that the stroke instance, we had that in Canada where there was a supposed death 16 days after adjustment. It was a farce. But we had patients come in asking about stroke, and I would go through a research paper at the time. We had received one from Chris Kent. We would talk about our malpractice insurance and how it was so low. I mean, we go through all of the scenarios for the patients. What are you finding for the listeners is the most effective strategy when patients are coming in and the questions are flying out on stroke? What have you discovered, or how are you training your malpractice doctors about how to handle stroke in the practice?
Yeah, great question. We spent a year and a half to create a chiropractor-friendly informed consent form. Some states require it. Everyone should use it. 10 years ago, I would have said I would never use one. But in today's environment, you have to have one. And part of the informed consent is explaining the difference that there may be an association, but there is no cause and effect. In fact, the attorneys wanted us to use as an example in there the incidence of people dying from surgery. But no one can relate to going to a chiropractor being equal to surgery. So we did find something very interesting. We used the incidence of people actually dying from cancer. I'm sorry, not cancer. People dying from using aspirin, just an aspirin. How many people take multiple aspirin every single day of their life? But the risk is 104 deaths per 1 million users each year.
Wow.
And we talk about the risk of a chiropractor causing a stroke, even if there was a cause and effect, which I will not acknowledge that that exists. But even if there was, the incidence is so low, you're talking 100 to 200 times less risk than taking an aspirin. And so when the doctors go through the informed consent with a new patient, it doesn't take very long, but an informed consent is a process. It's a communication. The form is there to acknowledge it and sign it. But the doctor should actually review it briefly with each patient. And that should be one of the points that they hit, is how safe we really are. And in our informed consent packet, we talk about how to implement that, how to talk about it. And that's for all new patients at the beginning. I don't believe just because you have all of the stroke information, all of the research, that you should go doing lectures on this. But I do believe that you should educate your patients. And when something comes up in the news media, whether it be on television or newspaper or whatever, that you should absolutely make this your talking point, your table talk, to talk about, wow, I heard there's some misunderstanding out there again about strokes and chiropractors. Did you hear anything about that? Let me tell you some of the research that is behind why that doesn't make any sense and isn't an accurate reporting. And you just should have this off the tip of your tongue, because we have it all so condensed and so easy for you to have, so that you don't sound defensive. You don't sound like, man, those bad medical doctors or the media is all out to get me. But instead, you're being educational and professional, and people respect that, and they will listen 10 times more by doing that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Stu. And, you know, that's how we used to approach it. And, you know, when it did come up, we just would take the time, educate the patients, give them the handout on the research. And you know, we never had an issue with our existing patients. Stu, we're just coming up to the half an hour. We have quite a few doctors on. So what I'd like to do is I'm just going to unmute everybody. This is a recorded call, doc. So if you have a question for Dr. Stu Hoffman, just state your name, where you practice, and just pose your question. And if you are in a noisy area, just put your system on mute. So if you have a question and you would like to ask Dr. Stu, just flag us there or just ask. I'm just gonna make sure I unmute everybody.
Oh, we're waiting. We'll see if anyone's, maybe I just told them everything they needed to know.
Awesome.
But in the meantime, let me just share one other real story with everybody. We had a senior woman come into a chiropractor's office. She was filling out her paperwork, and the CA was very astute about it. She went in the back and got the doctor because she said, that patient is not looking very well out there filling out this paperwork. The doctor comes out and says, oh my God, you're absolutely right. They do nothing. They call 911 immediately, just like I said, that's exactly what they should have done. 911 come, you know, EMTs come, they take the woman to the hospital, she dies. But they diagnosed a chiropractic stroke and the family sued the doctor. She never even became a patient. She didn't finish filling out her paperwork, but because she came from the chiropractor's office, they made an assumption.
Sure.
And we really need to do a better job and get more information out on the internet about stroke, because if you look, chiropractic stroke, you see page after page after page of horror stories about patients and strokes. And we need to turn that around, because God forbid someone has a stroke, what better for them than getting a chiropractic adjustment? And we want them to have a better understanding of that.
You know, Stu, we can talk conspiracy and how the woke case is still happening, you know, covertly in our profession. We talk about malfeasance, but that's going to cost millions and millions of dollars. I'm a firm believer the best way is to educate the patients. Just one more time, Stu, and I'll make sure we annotate the recording on this, is if the doctors want the literature from you, how can they get it one more time?
Just text 480-500-6574 and just put in your name, Reid, R-E-I-D. And, you know, for the doctors out there, I want you to know that our mission at ChiroSecure is to change the public perception of chiropractic. It's not to have to sell you an insurance policy. That's part of what we do, but we actually have a mission. And you're talking about educating the patients, but also the public. And I believe that that is the way to go. Years ago, the biggest practices in the world, chiropractic practices, were built based on lay lectures. And it is no different today. I'm not saying that everyone has to go out and start doing lay lectures all over the place, but educating patients is critical. It's the only way to overcome lack of or misinformation. And with us at ChiroSecure, we like to be proactive. And so what happens is we educate our doctors that if they have any of these situations, call us right away. I talked about don't call me when someone's in an episode, call 911. But it doesn't have to be a stroke situation. We like the doctors to call us before something becomes a claim, because we're darn good at coaching. And we'll coach the doctor through to de-escalate a situation that happens in their office so that it can go away most of the time and not turn into an actual claim or board complaint for the doctor.
Fantastic. And Stu, your website, chirosecure.com, is that correct?
Yeah, it is. And please like us on Facebook. We put out risk management tips. We do a lot of our own shows all designed around keeping the doctor safe while you don't stifle the growth of your practice. We want you to continue to grow more and more. Just do it in a way that's going to reduce your risk.
Hey, Stu, I got a question here from Chris. Thanks, Chris, for calling in. Dr. Stu, have you successfully defended a stroke case? Has it been proven safe in court?
Yeah. Thanks for asking that. The last two claims, I told you that we spent all of this money on this stroke research. We have an attorney that did all of this research, and he did one of these types of shows with us as part of a panel. And he got on there and he said, I am passionate about not letting a chiropractor be blamed for something they didn't cause. I said, oh my God, I didn't even expect that out of him. But he becomes co-counsel on our stroke claims, because he's not everywhere. And he has all of the data. The last two claims that went to court, which is rare, but the ones that went to court, we won both of them. And that we take great pride in. I can't tell you that future ones are going to go that way, but they were both jury verdicts on our behalf. And we have been doing so well with it, but there's tests, like there's forensic tests that no one even knows about, that depending on an autopsy, if someone died, or other tests, you can tell the age of the blood when there's a bleed based on the artery. And you can't always have access to that, but when you do, it can prove that that was there before they ever saw the chiropractor. So there are so many things at our disposal at this point, and we have such great expert witnesses. I mentioned Jerry Klum, but we also have medical experts that are totally on the same game as us, that a chiropractor can't cause that dissection. So yeah, we have successfully defended them. I just can't tell you that that's the lay of the land.
Stu, they can find you at chirosecure.com, or they can text 480-500-6574, and then my last name, Reed, R-E-I-D, and they can get the research on stroke to use for their patients.
Sure, and you know, for my own indulgence, anyone that's not already with us at ChiroSecure, please go on our website, fill out a quick quote form, give us an opportunity to at least compare, because this was all about strokes, but we have the most comprehensive coverage available for the doctors, and I'd love to at least have an opportunity to go through that with each and every one of you. So I want to thank you for having me on here today as well, Mike.
And thank you, Stu. I know Dr. Shereen's with you guys, and she's very happy with the malpractice. So thanks for being on, Dr. Stu from ChiroSecure. Docs, thank you for joining us. And in the meantime, until next Master Talk, CA Call, or Power Talk, keep practicing with passion. We'll talk to you all soon.
I'd love to have you subscribe, comment, like, and share this video with your friends. And don't forget to go to www.chiropractic-masters.com for more free practice building tools.